Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It's more precious to us now than ever before, for we need its light as we open up your Word. May God, the Holy Spirit, speak to us, convict us, change us, and lift up the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. We paused last week for 4th of July. I would like to continue with my train of thought from the previous weeks as I've been talking about the state of the dead. And I've entitled the message for this morning, Between God and You Forever. Between God and You Forever. Many of you might have remembered that soon after the president was elected, the Secret Service gave to the president and his family code names or signs that they could readily identify them in another means. Maybe it's a way of connecting to them in a different way. The president's call sign, you might remember, is Renegade. His wife, Michelle, her call sign is Renaissance. Malia, her sign is Radiance. And Sasha's is Rosebud. You might notice they all begin with an R. And I don't know why, you know, I'm sure there's significance to the code names. When President Bush was in office, his code name was Tumblr. And his wife, Laura, her code name was Tempo. Again, it's just a way of connecting in another way. You know, we do the same thing in our family. We have nicknames for our children. I won't tell you because somebody in poor taste will go up to my daughter who's a member of the church here and probably call her by her nickname. So I won't tell you what that is. But we all have names that we give our children, and we do that in love. And it's another way of connecting to them. There are many things that connect the family together, stories. You have stories in your family that are unique to you. And even tragedies bring us closer together and connect us as a family. You may have noticed that, I don't know if the Jackson family were that close, but the tragedy, the death of Michael, brought them together. And so they have a closer connection even because of that tragedy. We had an experience of coming together this year as my father-in-law passed, and we gathered together as a family there in Leavenworth, Kansas, where we had the funeral for my father-in-law. And after the funeral, all of the family that was there gathered in my brother-in-law's house, and you know, we just sat around reminiscing, talking and sharing stories about his life. And, you know, it was, even though it was a sad day, it was the conversation took on a light tone. It took on a kind of humorous tone as we all told our stories about Dad and our relationships and encounter with him. That was a very memorable moment as we sat around talking and smiling. All families have that kind of connection. When my son comes to visit us, if we want to have a light moment and start laughing, all we do is mention the La Jolla Talent Show. Now, that has no meaning to you. I won't tell you what it was about, but my son was in the La Jolla talent show. And every time, as a family, Bryn, you know what I'm talking, every time we think about that, we break out laughing. It was one of those moments as a family that connects us that may have no meaning to you, but it has all. I remember the event because I had never been in that situation. My wife and I were in the middle of the audience, and I can't tell you what happened, but whatever it was, I wanted to laugh so bad that I was ill. You may have never encountered that. But it was one of those moments, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. And so when my son comes, we just mentioned the La Jolla talent show, and we all break out laughing. Everyone has those moments. The connecting links, just humorous things that families have. When I see my grandchildren and they are here and they are lifting the baskets, you notice sometimes they come on the platform and give granddad a kiss. That always makes my heart warm, and I smile when that happens. Those special moments, usually when they see me, they're seeing me for the first time during that week, and our hearts just are overjoyed. We went to it's the San Diego Fair. It's my first time going, and we took our grandkids, and we went to the Kitty Land to ride on the Kitty Rides. What a joy it was to see their faces as they enjoyed that moment. All families have that connecting link. Stories, events that just make your heart, cause you to boil over with joy and laughter. You know, God has a connection with us that gives us joy. He does. In fact, he connects with his family, the church, that way. He has a connecting link with us that makes us feel happy. Whenever we think about it, our hearts are overjoyed. Not all of our family members are aware of that connecting point. It's been lost throughout history, but it's there nevertheless. One of the sermons that we talked about in several weeks ago, I'll tell you what that connecting sign is in just a minute. But several weeks ago, we talked about signs. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, I'd just like to go back and examine the signs that Jesus talks about, and then I'll give you the connecting link that God has with his family. Matthew chapter 24, if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, and I'd like for us to start reading at verse 3 of, as we've talked about, the various signs. I'm going to read while you're turning to Matthew 24. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And look, this is what Jesus says. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many." And then it goes on and talks about the other signs of wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. Now skip down to verse 11 of chapter 24. "Then many false prophets will arise." Will rise up and deceive how many? Many. And look at, if you will skip, I just want to make an emphasis. I think Jesus is trying to tell us something. In verse 23, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the members of Fallbrook." That's what it says. Same thing. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner room or secret chamber, depending on your version, do not believe it. I happen to believe that Jesus is trying to tell us something. Who is behind this deceiving? Who is behind this deceiving? Revelation chapter 13 and verses 13 and 14. Revelation chapter 13 and 14, 13 and 14. Who's behind this deceiving that Jesus is talking about? Revelation chapter 13, if you'll turn there. In verses 13 and 14, he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he does what? Deceives. We saw that. Didn't we just see that word in Matthew? I think Jesus is trying to tell us something. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and live. Who is this that deceives? Look at verse 2 of the same chapter, Revelation chapter 13. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of the bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. I'm not going to go into that. But this will tell you who is the deceiver. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. Well, who's the dragon? Yeah, let's look at in the Bible and see where it is. Tell, I agree. Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the who? And the who? And his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And guess where they ended up? Genesis chapter 3. We talked about it in the other sermon. And guess what he does? Deceives. He's cast out to this earth. Genesis chapter 3, you'll see that in there. And he deceives. And guess what the devil does? He attacks the institutions that we see at the beginning of Genesis. His MO is to attack these particular institutions. Marriage is one. And that's where I'm going the next time. So I ask you to arrive with your seatbelts. Marriage is what he attacks. And I don't care how long you've been married. I don't care how good your marriage is. He'll attack it. You know I'm telling the truth. That's what he does. He attacks life and death issues. The Bible says body plus the spark of life or the breath of life equals a living soul. You know what he tells us? There's an entity apart from that that floats out there someplace. That's what he tells people. He attacks marriage and he attacks life and death issues. And so consequently, when you believe that there's a separate entity, that floats out there. You know what you do? Then when people die, you put them anywhere you want to put them. Up there, looking down on us, right beside us, down below. That's what people do. That's the kind of areas that the devil works. He works on marriage. He works on life and death. And guess where else he works? What institution? The Sabbath. The Sabbath. That's the institutions that he works on, and nothing's changed from the beginning. And what he tries to do, God tries to connect us. He tries to break the connection. God tries to connect us. He tries to break the connection. Now you say the Sabbath. Uh-oh. Now you know I preach the Sabbath once a quarter anyway. I try to. I'm linking them together. When you mention the Sabbath, for people who do not know, you know what their mind goes to? That's Jewish. You always have to look out for that. That's where they're going. That's Jewish. But that's really not Bible. If you look at the Sabbath text, Exodus chapter 31, the scripture that was read, now it gives some things in there I'm not going to try and get into. But if you read further down, you know what it gets into? It says, 6 days shall thou labor. It goes into the same language that's in Genesis or the creation. The Sabbath is not Jewish. It goes back to creation. This is important. You've got to keep this in mind. It goes back to creation. And Exodus chapter 31, if you read it, starting from 12 down to 18, it'll show you that it gets back to creation. If you read Exodus chapter 16, that deals with the Sabbath, it goes back to creation. If you get to Exodus chapter 34, chapter 35, all of those texts, when it deals with the Sabbath, goes back to creation. Why that's so important? Because that's where we connect with God. That's who made us. You see, there's a lot of talking going on. I come from God, and I connect with Him right there at creation. Connectedness. Creation and worship. The Sabbath is universal. And we are made to believe today. Now, I'm going to say something, and it's a little more controversial than I normally say, but I just have to say it. You know what the devil does today? You know how he attacks the Sabbath? You want to get this. The new talk, it's been going on for several years and it's still around, is that the Sabbath is Sunday. I kid you not. That's the new talk. Sabbath is Sunday. No, Sabbath is the seventh day. The Bible is clear. It's absolutely clear. And in fact, the scriptures that people will use sometimes is Hebrews. They'll go to the New Testament and use Hebrews 4. You cannot read Hebrews chapter 4 and not tell me that it goes back to creation the seventh day. But that's the new talk. The Sabbath is Sunday. When I was in the Navy, they had a Navy Sabbath. Guess what day it was? Sunday. The other chaplains didn't want to talk to me about Navy Sabbath. They knew it wasn't Sunday. They made that up. It's not Bible. Why is that important? You need to understand, this is very, very important. We don't talk about the Sabbath so that we can have a one-upsmanship on the next person who doesn't know. You know why we talk about it? Because it connects us with God, and we connect it. It's the same way when I started off my sermon. There's some things that just make us smile and connect us. I hope you look at the Sabbath that way. Oh, I hope you do. And what we want to do, we tell other people because we want them to have the blessing that we have. That's why we tell them. We don't do it to have one-upsmanship or a secret knowledge. That's Gnosticism, secret knowledge. We don't deal that way. We do because God has connected us. And we know how blessed God we have been. And so that's why we tell him. Okay, let me get back to my point. If the devil attacks marriage, the institution, he attacks life and death, what do you think he will attack in these last days? The Sabbath. The Sabbath. That's where he will attack these last days. You can be sure of that. In fact, let me read something to you. Sabbath keeping is not just a matter of community religious discipline, but a defining and indelible expression of our relationship with God. Believers who give priority to God in their thinking and loving on the Sabbath show in a tangible way that God really counts in their life. That comes from Pope John Paul. That's where that quote came from. He wasn't talking about Saturday. He wasn't talking about the seventh day. He was talking about Sunday. And I also quote, to Christians, he urges that civil legislation respect their duty to keep Sunday holy. Now, if I was in the audience and I wasn't a member of the Adventist Church, I'd be really uncomfortable now. But my point is not to make you uncomfortable, but to tell you how the devil works. It is a lie. I just got to tell you, it's a lie. And I can't let you believe a lie. As difficult for it, you know, these kind of sermons are difficult for me. I don't even have that. I don't have that kind of makeup. I like the, you know, the other stuff. This is difficult for me, but I got to tell it because that's the new trend. And you know why Jesus told us to not to go there? Because he says, if possible, they could deceive even the very elect. And I didn't quite get that. I didn't quite get that. I said, that doesn't work on me. Until I went back and read again. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We don't like to talk about this. A little embarrassing, but I got to say it. You see, well, it started in February, but when it ended in April, I've shared this before. I was stationed with the Seabees. I was their chaplain. I was in Okinawa at the time, and, you know, we eat together, all the officers, we eat together in the ward room, we call it, and then that report came on TV, you know, that standoff at Waco, and all the officers looked over at me and said, Chaplain, you Seventh-day Adventist, because they were talking about Seventh-day Adventists. And I couldn't go through the floor. I mean, I wanted to go through there, but I couldn't. Because I had been trying to, you know, be a good witness as best I can. And here they're talking about Seventh-day Adventists held up in Waco, Texas. But you know, the truth be told, do you know 95% of his people, David Koresh's folk, were Seventh-day Adventists? Former Seventh-day Adventists? How in the world did that happen? You see, when David Koresh said, when he said this, they should have run out the door. When he said that I do 140 wives, 60 of them are my queens and the other 80 are my concubines. They should have run out the door. I'm serious. How in the world did Seventh-day Adventists stay in that? I'm not talking about people who he just found off the street. He took people out of a number of churches in Hawaii. People who should have known better. How did that happen? Can I tell you, I'm always baffled by that. And one of his chief lieutenants had a master's degree in religion from Loma Linda. He needed to get that back. I mean, if he fell for that. Another one of his chief lieutenants was an attorney, an African-American attorney. He should have known better. How did that happen? Thank you. Deception. Deception. That's why Jesus says, don't go there. Do you know some people have hypnotic powers? They can captivate you with their speech. When he says don't go there, don't go there. There are some places we ought not go. I don't care how powerful you think you are. I don't care how many scriptures you know. There are some places we shouldn't go. Let me make the connection. God says, I have a connection with my people. It's a connection that's unmistakable. It's the Sabbath. This is what I'm going to say is very simple. It's no accident that he told us of all the commandments, of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, it's no accident that he said, remember. We hear that so much, we just run right over that. There's no accident that he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We cannot forget the Sabbath. I've just vowed that since I've been here, I've had people say, he's talking about the Sabbath. He say it like that. You missed it. You missed the point. I'm not going to stop talking about the Sabbath as a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. You ought to hear the Sabbath every now and then from us. While others are making up stuff that's not even there. Why? Because that connects us. That connects us like no one else. My wife and I travels. We were, I won't tell you what city, but we were looking at places to live, and we went into the office there, and another couple came in there, and we just started talking. And we concluded that we were Adventists within 2 minutes. That's kind of good and it's kind of bad in the same way. You know, it's kind of good because if I'd have been not being who I need to be, I might have been embarrassed. But we were connected. I hope you get my point. We were connected. And within 5 minutes, they were taking us to their house. Am I right, Bryn? And they were going over the people that they knew. And I'd gone to Oakwood, and this person had gone to Oakwood. And it was over. We were connected. There's something that the Sabbath does to us like nothing else. See, the Worldwide Church of God went out of existence when they came up with a new theology why they didn't have to keep the Sabbath. I kid you not. They went out of existence. You can hardly find them anymore. When they decided, they came up with a new theology. We don't have any new theology. The Sabbath stands. Did you see in that scripture that it was written with the finger of God? Amen. You can't write it out. It's solid. It's a solid rock. It's not Sunday. It's not. If I didn't tell you otherwise, I mean, I would really need to stop preaching. I'd need to turn in my credentials. When Jesus says, Matthew chapter 28, I need you to turn there as we close. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28. I want you to see this, because I think this is the essence of the connecting link. Matthew chapter 11, you know it without even turning there, many of you, but I just want to connect it. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I just got a strange feeling that's connected also with the Sabbath. That the rest that Jesus gives us is the same rest that he gave to Adam and Eve. It's the same rest that brings. Have any of you ever felt like, I can't wait till the Sabbath comes? Have you ever felt that way? It's tied up in the connectedness. Oh, my dream, my prayer, my desire is that when we come to God's house on his holy day, that our faces would just light up with the joy of heaven, because we are connected with a God of creation. Oh, that ought to charge your heart. You ought to be excited about that. You are connected with the God of heaven. So is there any burden too heavy? Is there any too heavy where you don't want to come and be with him? Oh, I want to be with him. How about you? I want his connection, and I want it strong. And it's today. How do I know that? Because he said it in Genesis chapter 2. He says he blessed it, sanctified it. Oh, something special today. Amen. Like no other day. Claim it today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the connectedness to our families, to our friends. We thank you for connecting us with you through the Holy Sabbath day. It's a time when we can come and see everything that you have created and made and rejoice in the finished work. It's a time when we can come and learn about you and study about you and feast on your goodness. It's a time when we can fellowship with one another and enjoy each other's good company. A time when we can encourage one another. Lift each other's spirits. It's a time when we can hear the word of God proclaimed. And it lights us up. We thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath. May we share the blessing with others. Not because we're better, but because we're saved by grace. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you for connecting your people now and forever. And guess what we're going to celebrate in the new earth? Sabbath. Amen. It's between you and God forever. Pray for me as I go to the next area that the devil messes with, and that's marriage. You pray for me in advance.